is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 329, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Another week, another podcast.
Yeah.
We're 329, right? So we're getting up there. Yeah.
We're getting up to the episodes. We've been doing this for a while,
so
it's always good to jump on here every week and talk about tech. I was telling Ryan that I was falling asleep. He has G Fuel. I crushed the whole thing.
And I haven't had it in a while either.
It's always good when you like haven't had it. Like if you're like either drinking coffee or drinking like a carbonated energy drink, and then you switch over and do like a G Fuel night, it's always like I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just good when you haven't had it. It's in a while, different. So. What flavor you have there?
I think this is like the sour cherry.
Okay, nice. I saw a couple interesting new flavors just like recently, like on social media or something. They have some interesting new flavors, but G Fuel is always good, always solid, especially if you're gaming or you're just having a late night or even in the morning instead of coffee, just hitting that G Fuel. So, but I am I just have water because I just
water tonight, huh?
Yeah, I just crushed a G Fuel, like a whole thing all of right. G Fuel, so. We should be good to go. So, of course, guys, this is a tech podcast, and we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of different topics. If you guys do want to follow along, you can go ahead and do that. We have our full show notes page that is linked in the description of this video or in the show note or in the, I guess, the show notes. If you're listening to this later on audio, you can go ahead and do that and just see everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And the first product that we're going to be talking about is a CPU cooler. And I think, now tell me if I have all these parameters right, Ryan. If you're a beginner builder, maybe you've built one or two systems for an air cooler, a CPU air cooler, like the most important things is one, I would say definitely easy to install. You want something that's really easy to install, and you want something that you can install inside your case where you don't have to take the motherboard out. I think that's super important. Obviously, cooling is very important. I would say you need it to be better than a stock cooler, like than the stock Intel cooler, the stock AMD cooler. And then it can't sound like a rocket ship taking off. Like it has to be decently quiet, right?
Yeah.
I think those, like, I don't know if I'm missing anything.
I think those are important. Like looks to some people are important. Right. And we all like a cooler that looks nice. But yeah, ease of installation. I've had some coolers I've installed and you're like, oh, are you kidding me? I have to take the motherboard out. Or at least hopefully you've got a case where you have access to the back of the motherboard. But it's still kind of a pain if you have to like hold a bracket in there and like reach around to get it on there. So, yeah, I definitely agree with, an easy to install cooler is always nice. One that doesn't rattle or make a bunch of noise is nice. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, so we took a look at the Thermaltake UX200, and this is their take on the low cost air cooler, just around $30. I think it's like $32.99, $33.99 right now on Amazon. MSRP is $30. And it's a pretty good cooler overall. Single tower, ARGB fan, 120 millimeter ARGB fan, 4 heat pipes. And then we can take a look at the cooler here. It's, like I said, it's, you know, your typical standard tower cooler, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just, you know, all black, which makes it look decently nice in your system as well. It doesn't have a crazy, like, crazy finishes that we've seen on some other high-end coolers, but you do get, like, a little Thermaltake logo here at the top. 4 heat pipes, as I say, and these are direct touch heat pipes, meaning that the heat pipes will make direct contact with your CPU. You can go ahead and, you know, and see that right there. Now, when it comes to installation, it is incredibly easy. With all of our installations of CPU coolers, we do them outside of the case, but this is one that you can easily do inside your system. Like, it's really that easy. So they give you this bracket that you can see right here. It's just a plastic bracket that goes around. This is for Intel installation, but they give you this plastic bracket that, you know, you kind of just set on top of your CPU. And then you get these little plastic little push pins that kind of push down in. And you can see that on the little bracket, there's like a section for 11.5X and 11.7X. So depending on, you know, which Intel motherboard you're putting this on, you know, that's kind of where those go. And that pops, like I said, you just push this little push pin down through your motherboard, and then you use these little, they're like these kind of rubberish push pins that you push down in, and that locks the bracket in place. It's super, super easy. Again, this can totally be done inside your system. And then, you know, you install your thermal paste, which does come, it did not come in a syringe. It came in this little baggie, which I hadn't seen
like
in
a one-time use, that kind of sticks.
Yeah. But then all you do is you just place the cooler. And again, you can do it with the fan installed on the front. You don't have to remove the fan or anything. And it's almost, like I said, the mounting system is very much just like a typical AMD mounting system with two little, hinges here on the side that you lock in, and that's it. It's that simple.
I was going to say, this looks like that would fit on a AMD system without that bracket. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the AMD installation is you just
clip it on. Okay.
Yeah, cool. You just clip it on. We've seen a couple other coolers that have almost this exact same mounting system here. It would be super easy either way. Intel, AMD, incredibly easy. As you can see, 100% memory clearance. So if you do have RGB memory, not going to cover your memory up or anything like that. You won't have to worry about fan clearance or anything like that. It's not going to cover any of the slots. As you can see, super incredibly easy installation. And then the RGB lighting. So it's a standard 3-pin ARGB connection. There is no controller, so you have to plug it into your motherboard. So your motherboard needs to have a 3-pin addressable, as you know, the last, I don't know how many generations of standard motherboard, or I guess you would say enthusiast motherboard, they do. Like, oh, this is a Z490 board, which obviously had the connection. So you connect it and you can easily control the RGB lighting through your motherboard software. Super easy to do. The lighting is, you know, it's your typical ARGB fan here. And for testing, it didn't do as great. We'll go through temperatures first. So we run idle tests, of course, taken on the Windows 10 desktop. As you can see, it pretty, again, a lot of the other coolers are like a little bit higher end, but still not the best. It hovers around 32, which is close to the bottom of our testing. And then our first load test, we run the Ada 64 system stability test for 1 hour with just CPU only selected. So there's a bunch of different things you can select in the stability test. We just select CPU, and it's, 4 degrees hotter than the next cooler, which again, it's not the biggest cooler, single fan. But you can kind of see that right there. And then under low temperature, again, it's 6 degrees hotter than a bunch of the other coolers that we've tested as well. So I would say that the performance isn't necessarily there compared to other coolers that are, $10 to $15 more expensive. This is $34. We just reviewed like the Scythe Mugen 5 Rev C, which is just around $50. It performs much, much better. So I would say the performance just really isn't great. This would be a fine cooler for like Core i3, Core i5, even Core i7. But I would not recommend this cooler for Core i9 or Ryzen 9 or anything like that. But more the mid-range CPUs, this would be a good cooler to, that you could use over the stock cooler. Noise levels are fine. It's a single fan. It's not going to be all that loud, so you really don't have to worry about that. I gave it a 7 out of 10 just because the performance wasn't there. I think, one of those major criterias is really, it's good performance. And we have seen affordable coolers, most notably Hyper 212 from Cooler Master, perform much better than this. You know what I mean? So it's again, in the Hyper 212 series is around the same price. We haven't tested one of the newer Hyper 212s, and I think the last one we did was like 2 years ago. But yeah, I just gave it 7 out of 10. I just didn't think the performance was there. Okay. Yeah, it's just kind of, I was expecting just a little bit better performance out of this cooler. But if you are looking for a cooler that's incredibly easy to install, great for beginner. And again, if you're running Core i3, Core i5, Ryzen 3, Ryzen 5, even sometimes Ryzen 7, Core i7, it will be a good cooler. But there are a lot of, you know, you just jump up another $10. There are a lot better options out there. So just something to definitely go ahead and keep in mind. So
where do you think the lack of cooling comes from? You think it was like they could have done better with like larger heat pipes or maybe more heat pipes?
Yeah,
I think there's some pretty big like gaps between the heat pipes, so they could have fit like a fifth one in there or maybe a sixth. Now it would have added probably a little bit of cost, but they might have been able to get a decent amount more performance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do. So, you know, Ryan's obviously talking about the heat pipes here. Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of space, obviously. I think a lot of it has to do with the fin stack. If you look at the fin stack, the fins are decently spread out. Like, they're not grouped together as close, which, again, that this, you know, having them spaced out allows for better airflow, but there's less surface area if you have less fins. Sure. So yeah, I think that might have something to do with it. It's just kind of, again, with these single tower coolers, it's you know, you're kind of stuck with what you have. And again, I think this is more geared towards mid-range CPUs. This is not something like you're not going to, put this on a Ryzen 9 or like a Core i9. I mean, you're going to, you know, load up a Noctua, if you wanted air cooler, like a Noctua or a really big beefy cooler, master cooler. It does its job, but again, I think the performance just could have been a little bit better overall. Yeah. And old man's in the chat. I know I've been missing the chat, but yeah, he says he has the Hyper 212 Plus, which is just, like I said, the Hyper 212 series has been like the kind of, if you're not doing the stock cooler and you want an inexpensive air cooler, that's kind of what I've suggested over the past couple of years. We haven't tested a new one yet. And he said the Hyper 212 Evo V2 air cooler is $42.99. So again, $10 more. Based on my experience, the performance would be a little bit better. But like I said, it's still not a bad cooler. Again, if you're trying to save some money, it will definitely get the job done. And you do get the ARGB lighting, which a lot of these other coolers don't have in the same price range. So you get a little bit of, you know, it's just some, everybody's buying a case with a tempered glass side panel. So yeah. Getting just something to kind of show off your system is nice there as well. So go ahead and check out the review if you're interested. I was just, you know, just a little bit disappointed in the cooler. We'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And I've never heard of, your kids watch Disney.
They did not watch Moon Knight.
Okay. I don't know what Moon Knight is. I've never heard of it. I like this build though. I saw this build and I was like, never heard of the series, but I like this build because it shows that you can you can have a decent build with not a whole lot of modding, you know, standard AIO, which we all have, you know, which you can easily do, and you can make a really good looking build. So this is based on Moon Knight, which is a Disney TV show. Lots of painting in this. They painted the graphics card. Part of the case is painted, which we'll show you. But like, again, internally, it's just a system. It's just like my system. It's a system with an AIO in it with like matching colors on a lot of the components. You know what I mean? And they match the painting that they did with the individually sleeved cabling. You know what I mean? This is a Corsair case, I believe, possibly.
This is like the everyday man's mod, right?
Yeah, that's why I like it.
It doesn't feel some of these other mods that we showcase, like as amazing as they are, they're unobtainable for a lot of us, either whether it's cost, access to the tools, just the skill set, right? But with this, I feel like, yeah, I could probably paint a GPU and, you know, make it look like this, and I can get some colored cables, and I can figure out how to get Moon Knight on the screen of the LCD on the cooler and things like that. So, yeah.
There's the painting that they did on the side, cool. which I think is really cool. The opposite, you know, and that's pretty cool. I think
that looks pretty good. Yeah,
yeah. Did some. It looks like this is like an extra piece that they kind of put together and everything. Old man in the chat says, he read the Moon Knight comics in the 80s. He thought it was Marvel's answer to Batman, just not as cool. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I mean, the character looks really cool, but I don't. But yeah, just like I said, just some painting and just some extra, you know, little things that were done to just give it this. And again, you're right. Like, this is something that I would have done. Like, they painted the IO covers and stuff, just like kind of easy stuff to do that can really, if you do it correctly and you kind of match everything, it looks, like I said, it looks pretty good to me. You know what I mean? Just like I said, it's you don't have to do, and everybody wants that, you know, I want this crazy water hardline cooled system that they just, you know, they think about it and they just never end up doing it. Whereas like this, you can kind of do something that's going to really make your system stand out that is very obtainable for, I would say, the average human, like you and I, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Sure.
Looking at this price list, I'm not going, God, that's like overly expensive, right? It looks like just a straight up case build parts list with some, you know, maybe 3D printed or CNC'd pieces here and there, or maybe just some pieces you could find on Etsy or somewhere that it fit well with the build. Yeah, no, this is cool.
Yeah, very cool. So yeah, go ahead and check it out. The builder was Phenom Design. We have his Facebook listed there, so go ahead and check it out. Like I said, pretty cool. And especially, oh, he has a video too, so we have the video in the article as well if you want to check it out. And like I said, subscribe to his YouTube and check out his Facebook page, you know, give some support to the less known builders out there. So yeah, that moves us on to news, and there's going to be a lot of news. Like this week, Gamescom is going on in Germany right now. A lot of announcements, a lot of things. So we have some early things that were kind of dropped, but we'll get to most of it next week. So it's kind of a shorter news list this week, but we'll jump right into it. So the Intel Arc A380, we've been talking about this. We talked about it, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, that you could pre-order it on Newegg. It is now available on Newegg. You can go right now and go ahead and buy it. $139.99. This is the Challenger version, Challenger ITX version from ASRock. That is currently the only version of this graphics card that you can get in America or in the United States. And I think in Europe too. I'm not sure, but I believe this is the only one that you can. I mean, you can import like the Gunner one, I guess, into Europe easier than you could the United States, but I believe like at retail, this is the only one that you can get in both America and Europe. So if you want to check out what Intel's all about, again, it's $139.99 and you can get it. You know, it looks like they have a decent amount of stock in. So yeah.
Cool.
We talked about this before. I want the Intel version. Like if I, you know,
a Founders Edition type.
Yeah. Even though this is like, again, you kind of want to check this out, like I really want the Intel Founders Edition card, not the other.
I mean, I say we call it a Founders Edition. That's obviously an NVIDIA term, but
yeah,
the factory card.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's available. So if you want to go ahead and pick it up, you definitely can do that.
I just expect this thing to show up in all sorts of pre-builts at Best Buy and.
Yeah, and places, I think that's right? That's kind of what Intel wanted to do initially. I think. You know, the pre-built market is great. And again, if you're looking for something that is a little bit better than, you know, the built-in graphics on Intel, you know, or like a APU from AMD, to get a pre-built to be pretty affordable, that's the way to go. And I think that, you know, it's going to take a little while for drivers and all that kind of stuff to get better. But I think you can put together some pretty affordable systems, you know, with the Arc A380. So you'll see a bunch. Yeah. I assume when you go to Best Buy, you'll see a ton of systems with it in it. Cause it's just
pretty soon here.
Yeah. Just makes sense. Moving over to the CPU side, it looks like somebody's selling a Ryzen 5 7600 engineering sample on the
big old engineering sample across the top there.
Yeah.
This thing looks rough too, man. It's gone through some stuff.
Yeah, it's been through some shit.
No kidding.
So it's being sold on the Chinese black market. Doesn't really say much about CPU. It just says 4.4 gigahertz base clock, which is actually slightly lower than the 4.7 gigahertz that we know that it should be. But I mean, that's what this is like. Again, I mean, we've seen renders and some other pictures of this, but this is one that's been used. Is it like down at the bottom here? Is that like thermal paste right here?
I saw it up at the top right corner next to the PCB. Right, it almost looks like spray paint.
Yeah.
Like overspray, right? Who knows? But I
you can see thermal paste, right? Yeah, you can see like
I anticipate that being a problem, or maybe not a problem. Problem maybe not be the right word, but just a mess for people. Right?
I think if, again, a lot of people are like one time, right? I'm putting my
CPU. You're doing it once and you're never doing it again.
Yeah, but like for reviewers or people who are testing CPU coolers specifically, I mean, you know, even just with like the Intel CPUs that we use for CPU coolers, I mean, it's a pain to like get in there and clean it all out. And this is just looks like it's going to be worse, I feel, you know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and if you got anything like that has any conductivity, right? You don't want to get it on any of those exposed pieces, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't think, but it's
who knows.
It's an interesting thing. And you would think that they would just cover that, right? Like, why?
Maybe it's sealed by something and a clear coat.
Yeah, or something. So, in any case, pretty interesting to see. We're getting close here, guys. We're getting close to launch on these, so pretty excited. And we'll probably see a couple more of these pop up over the next couple of weeks. Now, we did talk about Ryzen 7000 series being delayed. According to some forums, Chip Hell forums, it's because, and this is, I hate this, it's because of a BIOS issue. When original Ryzen launched, that was one of the big issues was BIOS issue. So hopefully, like I said, it's not something crazy. You know, a major BIOS issue could be really bad because, again, all the motherboards that are already out have a BIOS on them, and the new BIOSes have to be loaded. You know, that's
boxed stuff up already. You know?
Yeah, a lot of these products are already boxed up, especially the motherboards. So if there is a BIOS issue, it's not good.
And that's the worst. Is it's kind of like in a game where they launch it and then they're like, oh, you've got the game, but now you got to download another like 10 gig day one patch, yeah. Right? It's like, oh, you got your new system. Make sure you put the current BIOS on it. Otherwise, you know, whatever the case might be for an issue there.
Yeah. And then if it is a BIOS issue, that can be a whole mess of other things as well. And it's like, again, first generation Ryzen, it's like we're getting BIOS update after BIOS update, and it still didn't fix certain things, and you had to run certain memory. Like it wasn't the greatest launch initially. So hopefully that's not the case with Ryzen 7000. We don't think. Hopefully this delay will allow them to fix whatever this may be. This is a rumor, but again, it's pretty, most of these leaks that we've been seeing are pretty accurate with what's kind of going on with, you know, with these launches. So we'll see. Hopefully it was always, I remember a couple launches and I don't remember. I've had it on the GPU side too, where like you get a graphics card, like a week before it comes out, you know, you get it, you're running all your tests, and then like a day before the launch, they're like, oh, we have new driver. Yeah. You have to retest. I'm like, okay, I'm going to retest 30 games.
Yeah, like, you're like, guess I'm not sleeping tonight.
Yeah, 24 hours. And I've had it with CPUs too. They're like, oh, we have new BIOS that fixes this. And I'm like, I literally just spent the last week testing this. So we'll see how all that goes as well. New super fast Lexar drive, which I'm pretty sure I have here. I will be reviewing this coming up. So they announced their professional NM800 Pro. This is a Gen 4. And we're seeing a lot of companies come out with one with a heatsink, one without the heatsink. The one with the heatsink is primarily for PlayStation. Or if you want the heatsink, but it seems like every company now is coming out with, you know, heatsink, non-heatsink version, which I actually really like. Because again, a lot of the kind of first run Gen 4 drives that were specifically made for PlayStation are really great drives, but they come with a heatsink, and most PC users don't want the heatsink because we've talked about this. Like, we have so many great heatsinks on our motherboards, and it just messes up the whole look of the board if you don't use the heatsink that comes with the board. So, yeah, so this is 7,500 megabytes a second read, 6,500 megabytes a second write, 12 nanometer controller on there. I think it looks pretty good too. I think the heatsink actually looks decently good.
Yeah, I like
too.
It. It's definitely not what I expected when I saw this headline, like Lexar. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is just gonna be like, oh, whatever. But okay, all right.
Yeah. So pretty excited. I believe, like I said, I got a bunch of boxes in today, and I believe this is in one of those boxes. Cool. So we'll have this review up. I don't think there is pricing just yet on this, but you know, it should be, like I said, you know, kind of what you expect, up to 2 terabyte. Hopefully they come out with a 4 terabyte though. You would think these new drives would get, I think we're getting to that point where you're going to see, I think we're going to get rid of the 512. Like, you're just not going to get 512.
You think
1, 2, and 4 will be like the three, because typically we would have 512, 1, and 2. Now we're just going to do 1, 2, and 4, hopefully, as things kind of, you know, yeah. That for like a professional, like for the higher end drives, I would say for like the, you know, the mid range drives, you'll still get that. Even sometimes you still might even still get a 256, a 512, a 1, and maybe a 2. But I think with the higher end drives, you'll hopefully we'll just get to 1, 2, and 4. But yeah, pretty excited for that drive as well. And then Gigabyte, they showed off, and this thing is super, super fast. They showed off their Gen 5 SSD. This is their, it's called their Aorus Gen 5 10,000. And I assume the 10,000 meets, you know, has to do with the speed. But they posted the crystal disk mark. I don't know if you guys can see it, wow. But sequential read 12,453.9 megabytes a second. That's read, and then sequential write is 10,074.5 megabytes a second. So 12 gigabytes a second read, 10 gigabytes a second write.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'll take 2.
Yeah. Super, super fast. Gen 5, obviously. And again, they posted this picture of like a render of what the, you know, it's just an M.2 drive, obviously, but they posted the actual crystal disk mark, which is pretty cool to see. So this one will be up to 4 terabytes, which would be, oh man, having that and, you know, a couple of those in your system. Gen 5. Yeah. It'll be definitely really, really good to see this stuff come out. So these will all, some of these should be being announced at Gamescom and a little bit later in the year. So yeah, really excited to just go to the next level. It just seems like we just got to Gen 4 and Gen 5's coming, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited for the speed. So yeah, I know Ryan, you have some stories here. I'll put your
Thanks. Yeah. So I've got a couple here we'll cover. First up is some kind of an interesting pairing of I guess nerd universes, right? Like mechanical keyboards, custom mechanical keyboards, and Lord of the Rings. So we've got Drop pairing up with Lord of the Rings to present an Elvish version and a not Orcish, but Dwarven version of the control keyboard.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I do have to say, and I actually have this keyboard.
Which one?
I believe it's the green. I haven't opened it yet. It's the green one. For like Lord of the Rings, massive franchise, right? Massive franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
Keyboard.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a very niche consumer market, right? I think your crossover piece here, like everybody. Okay, I can't say everybody, but most people probably enjoy Lord of the Rings, right? And we've probably seen a couple Lord of the Rings themed builds, even. But I can't imagine that there's a huge demand for this custom keyboard. I could see maybe selling a keycap set, right, as a drop. But a whole dedicated keyboard for it, maybe not.
But the design is not... I mean, the keycaps, yeah, but like...
The keycaps, but other than that, it's a pretty standard design, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You've got an aluminum base available in two colors. You've got the dark gray base for the dwarvish version, and then the kind of like light mint green for the elvish.
Yeah,
some cool keycap designs. So I like the color scheme on. I favor the dwarvish. Look the most. I think it just looks cooler. It's a tin keyless design with 87 keys. They're using Holy Panda X switches. I haven't ever heard of those, but I'm not.
I've heard really good things about those, actually.
Nice. Okay. USB connectivity or USB Type-C connectivity. I'm not sure that it comes with a USB Type-C cable. So
I'll open it this week. Like I said, I got a bunch of boxes in, and this was also one of the things. So
I would be surprised if they didn't have like a custom cable that came along with it, at least in a similar color scheme. I could see them doing that. But this is going to be for sale for $170 each. They'll be available for pre-order starting. Actually, they're already up for pre-order, and they'll start shipping and arriving in early October. So I think it's cool, but I just don't see a huge market for this.
And like you would think this would coincide with, is there like a Lord of the Rings
movie or a show? There is a Amazon Prime, I think, has a new Lord of the Rings show
or right like now. A game, like it would coincide with a game,
right? I think Amazon Prime, like I said, has a show out right now,
because I know we did have Lord of the Rings like mouse mats and maybe a mouse from somebody like years ago. I remember that. This is the first keyboard.
And if you're worried about it, they do have English legends on the keycaps, not just Elvish and Dwarvish symbols, thankfully. For those of us that aren't up on our...
Well, obviously, I'll let you guys know how I like it. We'll have a full review of that keyboard coming soon.
Now, this next product I'm like super like excited for. This is really cool. It's another keyboard type design, the NGS Shrimp Gaming Keyboard, right? And I saw this thing and was like, what in the world? I thought it was kind of ridiculous at first, but I got to thinking and like sitting here at my keyboard and putting my hand, you know, where I would normally place it to game. I'm like, all right, this might work. It's missing for me anyways the G, right? I use G for grenade to switch over to grenade.
Who are you? In games. Who does that?
I do.
Okay.
We'll talk later.
Yeah. Who are you? Who does this?
Anyhow, so we have this like two-piece gaming keyboard and wrist rest design available in multiple colorways and designs. I love this one with the kind of graffiti stickers
on
the wrist rest, super colorful.
The whole idea, I believe, of these is like, you know, you have a keyboard, like I have this big keyboard here. Like if you're traveling, you don't like, it's kind of a pain in the ass to take, even like a 65, 60, 75%. And if you're somebody who uses even a larger than that, like to take your whole keyboard with you isn't ideal. So the whole idea of this keyboard or keypad is obviously to cut down on space and just make it easy. And again, for it's specifically made for gaming. Like if you look at it, it's going to,
you're not
going to
be typing out any emails or very many messages and words with the limited amount of letters here.
Yeah. It's basically the far left side of your keyboard, WASD. They have like a half of a space bar, which I think is perfect because again, I'm just like looking at my thumb where it sits on my space bar. If I'm playing a game like WASD, and it sits right on that side, so
absolutely
this does seem very ideal. It has a couple knobs at the top as well. I think this is like very, very much ideal. You could, I mean, it would be interesting to see if like you could just make this your full-time gaming keyboard, right?
Yeah, 25 keys. You've got the two switches up at the top, which you can customize or use as in-game you know, controls. There's no software required, which is kind of interesting. I was hoping there would be some software with this so that you could maybe do some more customized features.
There might be third party software that you could use for it.
You could customize for that. But magnetically connected wrist rest as well. So you can kind of snap that on and off if you don't want it, or just need to like make it a little smaller package for traveling. Gateron G Pro mechanical switches, Cherry profile keycaps, RGB lighting, Type-C connectivity. This is pretty sweet.
I do like it that they came out with the different versions, if you can bring that picture up again.
Multiple.
Yeah, the different colorways.
They all look good.
It's just like a good overall product. Like, I could totally see myself using this, like, even just at home as, like, the key, you know, the, like, what I use instead of my normal keyboard. Like, I could totally see it. Yeah. And again, small enough, you can fit it in a backpack. Like, I like that.
And it makes it nice. Like, I'm someone that I use a TKL Corsair keyboard, and I angle it just a little bit, right, for my hands. Like, this makes it even, because now the way I have it laid out, right, it just takes up a little more room than a standard TKL when it's facing straight. This just takes up so much less space, gives you a little more room. You don't have to worry about bumping into the side of your keyboard with your mouse hand or anything. So anyhow, I think this is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like that. It's pretty cool. Pretty interesting product. So hopefully maybe we'll get one of those into review as well. It'd be kind of cool.
And then last up, Asus has their ROG mesh Wi-Fi system. This looks, to me, it's like, is this on the wall in a bathroom to dry my hands? Is it like a health pack panel in some futuristic movie that's like up against the wall, you know, to like get health? It's so nuts looking, but I think this is pretty sweet. So we've got Wi-Fi 6 mesh system here from Asus, and it can deliver up to 10,000 megabits per second across 2 5 gigahertz bands and 1 2.4 band. So nice. They're saying it can cover up to 5,800 square feet. Obviously, that's going to kind of depend on where you place it in your house, right? If you're putting it in a basement and you've got a two-story house, or wherever your internet connection comes in. Up to 5,800 square feet. It has multiple gigabit wired connections for the for your wired connections, and it has a 2.5 gigabit WAN and LAN nice. Aggregation is available as well. So 2.5 gig WAN. I wish I had the option to go up to those types of speeds for my WAN connection.
But, that's what I have. I have an Asus. I have an ROG router.
Right.
And I love that it has that.
I mean, actually, I just wish I had an ISP that would offer me those speeds. Right.
For you guys, this is called the ROG Rapture GT6. Very cool design, and it's nice that you get the two color options, you know what I mean? You get the white or the black. Ryan has the black up on the screen, and I'm assuming that the ROG logo there lights up, and then you can change the colors. Even on mine, you can change it's all RGB, you can change the colors and stuff. So I'm a huge fan of mesh. I don't use this like as nice of a mesh system in my two-bedroom apartment, but it's just like so good to have, especially if you're in a home, especially a multi-level home. Mesh is really, really great, and it's good to see ROG. I'm a big fan of their networking products. Like I said, I have an ROG Wi-Fi 6 router.
They have a Nighthawk that's okay. I think it was just a G or maybe an N router. I haven't been using it in a couple of years, but I was always happy with its performance and the interface and everything. So that's one that I usually will recommend to family and friends that ask. Like, it used to be like the Linksys WRT54G, right? Like, that's what you would always, it would be like a WRT device that you would.
I think recommend. I still have a couple of those like in storage, like in a box.
But I've kind of moved on to being like, let's see what Asus has and is available. Cause it's usually they need it like that day because theirs broke and they went, you know, dead. So you got to find them something at a Best Buy or somewhere local. And if Asus is available, I typically point folks towards that nowadays. But cool.
Like these. Very, very cool. I don't know if they list pricing on this.
They didn't. No. Available at Q4. At the end of the year. So
So
I'm guessing. Expensive. I don't want to guess. Yeah, it's going to be expensive though.
Probably $200 to $400 range.
Yep.
I'd guess somewhere in there, but very cool. I like those white ones. They would like, cause everything, you guys can kind of see my office, but like everything in here is white. And then just putting the white, the white up in there would be very, very cool. I think it'd be,
yeah,
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I wish we had something to give us some size perspective.
Yeah, because you don't really know.
I wanted
know...
to see like the back and maybe some of the wired connections. Like, yeah. We'll get pictures at some point.
Let me see if they have... they might have it because this is part of their Gamescom thing.
Okay.
So I don't know... Yeah, no, it's not on their website. No, yeah, it's not on there. They have some pretty cool Gamescom stuff too. Just check out like Asus's social media. They have a bunch of stuff on there that you guys can check out. But yeah, I'm excited for these. It's so cool to see ROG like become like there's ROG product for everything now, like literally everything, which is really cool.
Yeah,
so.
I mean,
and they're good. It's
with Asus on some stuff. So yeah, not Asus, but IKEA.
Yeah, and it's the thing is like most of the ROG products are actually good too. It's not like they just slap the ROG name on it and it's like some crap product. The IKEA stuff, you know.
Yeah,
but like most of the hardware, actual hardware related products have always been good. Whether it's, you know, obviously the motherboards, but like the networking products, the storage products, they're all really good. So, you know, pretty like I said, pretty excited to just keep on seeing more ROG stuff. Coming next week, I'll talk about gaming. I'm taking a look at two gaming related products. They're completely different. First, I'll be taking a look at the Adata XPG Alpha wireless gaming mouse. So XPG, they're making mice. This is their Alpha. Pretty simple. You know, you can do Bluetooth 2.4 gigahertz. So it's going to come with a dongle, or you can use it via USB. Has some RGB lighting in here, as you can see as well. They got the type C, which is always good. And you can see the front is lifted off. If you look at that front image, it's a little, you know, I'm going to see how comfortable it is because I like my lightweight mice. So we'll see how this one goes. 60 hour battery life. Of course you have Omron switches on there. So we'll go ahead and see, what that mouse is all about. And I'm really, really excited for this product. So Creative sent over their Soundblaster Katana V2. Which is actually a sound bar. But I'm going to see if a sound bar will replace my normal speakers on my computer. While, again, most people think sound bar, they think for your TV, but this is more or less designed for gamers. You know what I mean? So we'll see how it sounds, you know. You can kind of see, you know, what it looks like right there. It obviously it has RGB lighting, but really excited to check this product out as well. Like I said, see if I, you know, when you're building your system, you never think of a sound bar of speakers. Like you're like, oh, I'm going to get some speakers. So we're going to see how this sounds. If it's something that I would suggest for, you know, I can't go over here. There we go.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't even think, you know, speakers, I've had the same set of 4.1 surround sound, but just in a 2.1 setup for like 20 years. I'm not even kidding. And it's a Creative set, but this is cool though. I like the multiple input options.
Versatility
of it. So
yeah, so we'll see kind of what that's all about as well. And as we come to the end here, we talk about just random tech stuff. You did anything tech related this week, Ryan?
No, I think last week, did I talk about setting up an Unraid server? I think I had set it up.
Yeah, you had said
the day before. I tore it down already. But it's because I'm planning to rebuild it with like some like finalized hardware. So
nice.
I saw a case that got released, or at least was showing as new, and I don't think I'd ever seen from Silverstone. So I'm going to look into that. So I had to get the other one torn down. I had put it in the case that you have, the Corsair, what is it? I forget the name of your case that you have right now.
Your main 680X?
Case. Yes. I had a 680X just additionally in my room. And that case it's large to just have in your room. So
yeah,
had to tear that down for a little while.
I've just been working on review stuff. Shot a ton of B-roll for a new video, which I'm pretty pumped about. Every time I shoot B-roll, I'm like, oh, it looks so good. Even though like people will see it for like 5 seconds.
Right. Yeah. You're cutting it up and like taking.
Yeah. Shoot like 200 gigs worth of footage for like a, 10-minute video. So, but yeah, just working on that stuff.
We were talking about CES too.
Yeah, so we just booked our place for CES. CES is officially January 5th through 8th this upcoming year. We typically book in ahead because everything gets real crazy. But we'll be there the 2nd through the 9th in Vegas for CES, obviously covering the show. We haven't been able to make it the past couple of years because of COVID. So hopefully there's no issues in between then and now. But yeah, I'm excited to get back out there, check out products, give you guys kind of the, what's going on, and just have some fun in Vegas, see all of our friends from all the different tech sites we know. And yeah, I'm pumped we got it locked down, so everything's like locked down, good to go,
it's coming together.
Yeah, and this year, so previously, like, I was living in Pittsburgh, so I would obviously fly to Vegas, but now that I live in San Diego, I'm going to drive because I'm going to bring my whole main system. We're going to bring a podcasting setup. Like, we're going to have, it would just make things a lot easier to drive and have all this gear that we can actually use there. Not like just bring the gear that I can fit in a suitcase. Now we'll bring a ton of gear and kind of be good to go, whether we're doing podcasts, video stuff. Like, obviously video editing will be a lot easier because we're not doing it on a laptop. So, yeah, pretty pumped for that. So do we have if old man wants to give us the deals for,
he always knows, he's always on the
the Epic Game deals. And I saw something on Twitter, there's a sale, I don't think it's Humble Bundle or Humble Bundle, what's the other one, there's some other deal going on. This sounds like a good one.
Doom 64
is free on Epic till tomorrow at 10 a.m Ring of Pain will also be free, so that sounds like fun. But there's some other, maybe it's like G2A. I don't think there's like some summer sale or something going on one of these websites. No, back to school sale. I forget. Yeah. So there's like a back to school sale on G2A. So that's G2A.com. I saw that on social media. If you want to check that out, as far as games. And like I said, old man said Doom 64 is free on Epic. Always use, may not use that Epic Games launcher that much, but you just open it up and get the free games, and that's kind of what you do. So, and if you just logged in on the website, you don't even have to open the launcher if you want to. So, but you do get free games. So we're going to jump off here. We're going to go over to Twitch. Of course, Wednesday nights means gaming nights. Ryan will have the stream up. He is your host over there. So tell him, get in his face, tell him to kill people. I'll be on there as well, but I won't be streaming. Ryan is the head
game streamer. Hopefully this week we don't have any audio issues. I was kind of messing with my setup tonight, and I think it's good.
Yeah,
it's
so good. Ryan does this thing where, like, he just never has the same audio settings. I don't know why when he's doing his stream. So, but yeah, we'll be over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. It's old man, good to see you here in the chats. Like, every week, you're typically always here. Thanks to everybody who listens later. And, of course, we will see you guys next week.